views and opinions expressed therein are those of the individual speakers and callers and do not necessarily represent the views of KFAR Radio or any of our respective employees, affiliates, or sponsors of this program.
Good morning, Fairbanks. You are listening to KFAR. We're at 660 on the AM dial, 97.5 on the FM dial, and we live stream at KFLradio.com. This is Problem Corner, and I am your host, David Prus. My format of the show is on Mondays. It's business and economics that affect Fairbanks and the state of Alaska. Tuesday is my day of politics, so my guest will be based around that. Wednesday, my guest is an interesting Fairbanks and pioneer local legend, maybe even a nefarious character. Friday, it is all about Fairbanks, what we get to do over the weekend, those opportunities that are afforded to us, those things that make Fairbanks special. My job is to introduce this world, this planet, to the wonderful world of Fairbanks, give everyone that Fairbanks fix that we need once in a while. I'll try to get your phone calls, but sometimes our conversations just don't stop, so please be patient. I will get to them. We are at 458-TALK, 458-8255. With that, today's Wednesday. It's a history day. I do not have a guest. I've been working on this little program here for a bit, so please bear with me. I might stumble here, I might fumble, but we're going to get through it. We're just going to talk about Fairbanks history and how it was built out and when it was built out and why it was built out. Now, always remember this. A river runs through it. Fairbanks has a river, the Chena River. It has always been the center of town, transportation in and out. That's why Fairbanks was founded. E.T. Barnett got thrown off the Lavelle Young at the location here where it was then called Barnett's Landing in about 1902, right in there. And the interior has never been the same. So looking at the Chena River here, you know, the early buildings of Fairbanks and how they got things here, everything was rough-hewn logs, mud, sod chinking, sawdust insulation, whipsawed spruce boards, things like that. When in the late summer of 1901, when Captain Barnett, I apologize, and his wife Isabel, when they landed and they chose the south bank of the Chena River, they had to remove all the overburden and start from scratch. And that's what they did. Then what most people don't realize is how long they operated Barnett's Landing for, Barnett's Cache, whatever you want to call it. The NC Company, Northern Commercial Company, came in, and in 1904, bought out Captain Barnett. So that's how long the NC Company has been here for, that long. And they built the first power plant on the banks there where it's at now. And so it's been a unique history. We have Nick Nugent in January. He's the second week of January. He'll be doing a detailed description and presentation on the history of the NC Company and how they came up here. And then along First Avenue and Second Avenue were there large commercial warehouses and trading places. And in fact, they even had warehouses on the north side of the Chena River where everyone knows where the Big Eye is for whatever reason. But that warehouse that sits there, that was a NC Company, Northern Commercial Company warehouse. And they put that up. So they built a lot of things here. Then everything's going well. And then me and Joni Skillbred, we had a little show on the fire of 1906. And boy, did that change things. That was regentrification of the downtown area. And then after, you know, it spread rapidly over four blocks, destroying 90 separate businesses, which included three hotels, four commercial buildings, nine saloons, 11 restaurants and cafes, three drugstores, and five barbershops. But the next morning, the Washington Alaska Bank was open for business. And the NC Company building, saved by keeping the eaves wet, were the only survivors of the pre-1906 years in the downtown area. Everywhere, the merchants began rebuilding. And luckily, it was in May, not October, November, right in there, or else, oh my goodness, the town would have been devastated. So they rebuilt. And what the city council did, they said, okay, we had a lot of requests from the downtown business merchants. And what we're going to do is we're going to make ours in this downtown area along Cushman Street, 1st, 2nd, 3rd Avenue, and 4th Avenue, 5th Avenue. We're going to make our streets bigger so the fire horses can get down there. We're going to increase the street size to 70 feet, and the sidewalk size must be 10 feet. And you can't build out over the sidewalk or into the street. That way we can make it a little bit more safer for everyone. And that's what they did. And that was the city council heard recommendations that all the streets had to be widened prior to reconstruction, wide alleys between Cushman and Lathrop Street. Now, how was Cushman Street named? Who is it named after? Well, it's not really named after anyone from Fairbanks. It's named after a congressman from Washington who, again, a Washington influence, but in a good way. This was a mining district, and he was one of the influencing people who put money into Fairbanks, and he came up via dog team, him and his wife, in about 1903 from Valdez to Fairbanks via dog team. So that's how you got Cushman Street, named after a congressman. Anyway, new buildings built after 1906 fire included the Barnett Block at the corner of 2nd and Turner, the William McPhee Saloon at the corner of 1st and Lacey, the Magnet Saloon, Sergeant and Penska's, the Penska's building there. Growing up, there was always that. There was Penska's call for cash on the TV. You'd win $20 if you answered the phone when they called during the news. So anyway, and these were all predominantly two-story buildings or one-story buildings with false fronts. So you started having the rebuilding of Fairbanks right then and there. It gets interesting. So you have the north side of the river, and that was called Garden Island. If you ever had a great sandwich at Garden Island store there, it's an arm of Gavore's, the food business there. That was Garden Island. That's where the big gardens were that fed Fairbanks and everything like that. And then that was operated by the Brandt family for a long time, and they homesteaded. So they had 160 acres there. And then when they started selling it off, that became Brandt Subdivision. And then you have the churches. Now, the churches, they're interesting. They are, in the early history of Fairbanks, there were three churches. There was the Immaculate Conception Church, which actually started out as St. Mary's Church on the south side of the river. You had the First Presbyterian Church, and you can find that at Pioneer Park. And you have St. Matthew's Episcopal Church. Now, the Immaculate Conception Church was built in 1904. The First Presbyterian Church was built in 1904. And then St. Matthew's Episcopal Church was built in 1905. And the only one that's where it originally started at was St. Matthew's Episcopal Church. Anyway, we're going to take a commercial break. You're listening to KFAR Radio. We're at 458 Talk. 458-8255. We'll be back after these messages.
More Problem Corner is coming up on KFAR 97.5 FM, 660 AM, and streaming live at KFARradio.com.
If you're having trouble finding the perfect gift for someone who's impossible to shop for, Tommy G's Meat and Sausage has the perfect solution for you. A Tommy G's Meat and Sausage gift card. Give the gift that gives back the entire year and watch their faces light up and their mouths water. And while you're there, check out their selection of fine, authentic, imported foods and beverages from Italy. Make your and someone else's holiday season one to remember with Tommy G's Meat and Sausage. 3290 Pegger Road. It's no longer a dinner with friends and family. It's an experience.
At Interior Community Health Center, we believe lasting quality health is achieved by treating the whole person, not just the symptom. We're making it as easy and as safe as possible to access the preventative care you need to stay healthy. Increased safety measures make your in-clinic visits less stressful, while our easy-to-use virtual appointments eliminate an extra trip out of the house. Whether you choose to visit us virtually or in person, call 907-455-4567 to make an appointment with your primary care provider today.
Weather brought to you by The Woodway. Buy your Honda power equipment from The Woodway. It's assembled, tested, and ready to go. That's value the Alaskan way, the right way, The Woodway.
KFAR weather.
A dense fog advisory continues until noon today. Highs around 25 below today under mainly clear skies. Winds out of the northeast, 5 to 10 miles per hour. 28 below tonight, overcast. Chance for snow tomorrow, 1 below. About an inch of snow tomorrow night through Friday. And that's your weather on KFAR 660 AM and 97.5 FM. I'm meteorologist Laura Lockwood. Currently, it's 40 degrees below zero.
And now, more Problem Corner on KFAR Radio, 97.5 FM, 660 AM, and streaming live at KFARradio.com.
Welcome back, Fairbanks. David Pruse here, and we're at 458-TALK, 458-8255. We're talking about the construction in the history of Fairbanks. Now, let's look at the Bethel Conception Church, built in 1904. And this is when, sometime in the spring of that year, the Reverend Father Francis Monroe from the Society of Jesuits arrived from St. Michael's with order to build a church. Building materials were expensive, and the story is that Father Monroe traveled up and down the creeks soliciting funds from the miners. As a large portion of the people in Fairbanks and the surrounding districts were Catholic, his requests were successful. And the first church, a rough 30 by 65 frame structure, was built in September through October of 1904. Its first location was on the edge of the original town site near the river and the road to the creek. So that would have been there on near Wendell Street. At first, the church was not painted or finished, and little physical evidence actually identified it as a church. In the following years, the living areas were decorated and a reading room opened. 2 years later, Father Monroe, at the request of a now-established town, started plans for a hospital. This is St. Joseph's. The site chosen for the hospital was on Garden Island, well set back from the riverbank, which is occupied by a sawmill. A 72 by 76 three-story hospital was opened on Thanksgiving Day in 1906. It was 5 years before Father Monroe managed to consolidate the services of his church. In 1911, the church acquired the sawmill, tore down its old buildings, and prepared to move the church building across the river. It must have seemed like a daring plan at the time, after, you know, you're moving a church across the river. After the war, someone bought them for salvage and tried to move them across the river. Somehow they sank midway in the remained a topic of conversation in the middle of the river until more enterprising citizens recovered them piece by piece. The church successfully completed its move in mid-November of 1911. In the spring of 1912, the rough foundation beneath the church was completed as a parish hall and separate residence built. The enclosed entry hall into the church and the steeple were apparently built at this time as well. So that was the consolidation there. And along the river, you had a couple sawmills. Now, as you go down, Cushman Street goes over the bridge that turns into Illinois Street. And as you go down Illinois Street, you'll see there, as you go over the bridge, you're going over Noy Slough. noise he had at that area there where the FE company's buildings are, the church's house, Monroe, everything along there, that was his sawmill. And that was named after him, Noise Slough. It was also named Dead Man Slough because a nefarious act happened and the person was murdered and left there. So it was originally called Dead Man Slough, but it's Noise Slough, and Noise Slough is approximately 7 miles long, and it travels in a western direction, and it goes through Brant Subdivision, Lameda, Aurora, College, that area, and starts on the Chena River at Slaterville and ends there off University Avenue. So a little bit of travel there. Then you have First Presbyterian Church, built in 1904, and that's now in Alaska land, Pioneer Park, A67, whatever we want to call it. The First Presbyterian was also the first church in Fairbanks, so that's the first one we had. A mission cabin was erected in the town of Chena at the mouth of the Chena River in the winter of 1902 and 1904. In September of 1904, the structure was built at Cushman and 7th Avenue, facing Cushman Street. So basically, right where either Sadler's is or where the Borough bus station is the location. Anyway, Dr. S. Hall Young, the minister, who is also a writer and naturalist, was instrumental in raising the funds for the church's construction. A small manse was also built at the same time. Together, the cost of structure was $5,500. Boy, how times have changed. In the 1930s, the church was moved farther to the east on its side and turned to face 7th Avenue. In its new position, it was renamed the Young Memorial Hall, and new church was built facing 7th Avenue. That's where that site is, where that church is there, along Cushman and 7th. The old church was finally moved to A67 in 1966. So, anyway. And then we have St. Matthew's Episcopal Church. That's at 1029 First Avenue, and that was built in 1905. Was founded by Bishop Peter Trimble Rowe of the mission at Circle City. Reverend Charles Rice made the visit to Fairbanks in 1903, and Bishop Rowe returned in February of 1904 to a warm welcome, established a mission, and pledged a hospital at the request of the townspeople. They secured me the grounds for sites and pledged 2/3 of the expenses of a building. The hospital is to be built in June. Then I shall equip and send 2 of men as nurses. Miss Carter, a church worker from Skagway, wrote in 1904, "Our prospects are not very bright. The building was only a shell upon which $2,000 had been spent, with $1,500 owing. A single thickness of ship's lap, which enclosed it, had shrunken, leaving generous cracks. The window casings were entirely too large for the windows that the bishop had sent, so there were no windows in it. 3 or 4 of our front casings had cheesecloth tucked over them. There was no door hung at the back, only a few boards nailed together at the front. But we had one stove, the kitchen range." Now, those are pioneers. Just think of that, 1905, 1906, the winters. And this is the building that they're in. And she later wrote, "On the first day of September, Archdeacon Stuck and Helen arrived. Captain Barnett promised to lend us enough money without interest to complete the bottom floor. The building was properly enclosed, and the first floor put into usable shape. 5 airtight stoves were put in to heat it." So I think they call that central heating. On September 15th, the hospital nurses were brought with their first patients, and by the end of the month, they were overcrowded. Anyway, so you had 2 hospitals and 2 nurses. And also, you have to remember back then, you had the Eagles and the city. And they had their own physicians. The Eagles, the Fraternal Order of Eagles, had Dr. Sutherland later on. And the city of Fairbanks had a doctor. And they all were elected positions. Dr. Sutherland, he got up here in about 1912. And then he went off to World War One, where he served as a doctor, field medic. And then he came back. And he was the doctor that basically saved Fairbanks during the pandemic of the Spanish flu in 1920 that hit Fairbanks. But he was an elected person for the city of Fairbanks. And he was also elected by ballot by the Fraternal Order of Eagles. So in reading his history, that's where a lot of his income came from. Plus, he had a private practice, him and his wife. And so that's how things were done in Fairbanks at that time. Just think of that. You had a elected city doctor. Oh, how much fun can you have? Anyway, then you have the FE company. And as you go down Illinois Street, you'll see where they're at. You know, where the GVA is, that beautiful brick building there. They built that as their headquarters, and that was built. And they started their extensive physical facilities in about 1926 and 27 is when they started building all their stuff. And the houses out along there, you see the blue door, where you can go there and get antiques, and you see other houses along there. Those were all for the different various managers of the FE company. That's what they were built for, the housing FE company people. The FE company was the local arm of what was considered a large group of outside interests who bought up the mining claims in the creeks in order to employ more efficient mining techniques to put in dredging. And they began operations a few years after that, coming from the railroad, made it possible to ship the large pieces of equipment and the machinery and goods year-round. Anyway, they were able to sustain those operations into the 1950s. They had, but they started their facilities construction about 1926, right in there. So that's when you see that, and that's where Slater and Charles Slater's subdivisions come into being. And Father Monroe, he got up here in 1904, and he established Monroe High School and the ICS, the Math of Conception School. And he's buried there at Clay Street Cemetery. But he did all that. And Father Boilo Hall took over. And Father Boilo is probably the one who really put in the school. It was named after Father Monroe, I would think, anyway. But a little bit of the history of how the center of Fairbanks started, a river runs through it, and then extended to the north. All your streets on the south side of the river are avenues, 1st Avenue, 2nd Avenue, 3rd Avenue. Then in Grail was its own town site, separate from Fairbanks. It came into Fairbanks probably about 1970. It was incorporated into Fairbanks. But there's 1st Street, 2nd Street, 3rd Street, and there's a 4th Street, actually. There's no 5th Street. But there's a little bit of a 4th Street. If you ever want to go to the Blue Roof Restaurant, that's over there off 4th Street. And this old Steese Highway. So we'll get back here. We're going to take a break for commercial, for Fox News, state news, some weather, and it's cold outside. We'll be back in a bit.
on KFAR 97.5 FM, 660 AM, and streaming live at KFARradio.com.
President Biden is in Kentucky today viewing tornado damage from the air and the ground.
There's no red tornadoes or blue tornadoes. There's no red states or blue states when this stuff starts to happen.
At least 88 people were killed in a string of tornadoes across six states late Friday and early Saturday. More than 70 of those were killed in Kentucky. Following his video call with President Biden, Russian President Vladimir Putin is holding a call with Chinese President Xi Jinping.
Russia says she shared Putin's concerns about the U.S. and NATO, complaining they pose mounting threats, while Putin confirmed that he plans to attend the upcoming Winter Olympics in Beijing, an event U.S. dignitaries are skipping in a protest over human rights.
Fox's Simon Owen in London. America's listening to Fox News.
It's time for your Alaska News Minute.
The State Health Department says Alaska has reported its first case of the Omicron variant of the coronavirus involving an Anchorage resident who had traveled internationally. The department says the case was identified Monday through genomic sequencing performed at a state health laboratory. It says the case involved a person who recently tested positive in Anchorage following international travel last month. According to the U.S. Centers for Disease Control and Prevention, cases involving the Omicron variant have been detected in at least 30 states. And finally, a state court judge has set a scheduling conference for next week on various challenges that have been filed to Alaska's newly drawn political boundaries. The Alaska Redistricting Board, which drew the maps, plans to meet Wednesday. Litigation issues are on its agenda. KTOO Public Media reports that four lawsuits have been filed against the board, each arguing that communities were wrongly placed in a district with other communities with which they have little in common. The Mat-Su Borough, City of Valdez, and Municipality of Skagway Borough brought three of the lawsuits. The other was filed by three Anchorage residents.
Streaming live online at KFAR660.com.
Let it snow, let it snow, let it snow. But more specifically, let it snow 3 or more inches on Christmas Eve and Renewal by Andersen will give you free replacement windows. This is Chris Dunn, the local owner, and with this year's wet winter forecast, we expect to give away a lot of free windows. Make your appointment and purchase before December 16th. And if it snows 3 or more inches on Christmas Eve in Anchorage, all the windows you purchased will be free. But if we don't get snow, you'll still save $379 on windows and save $579 on patio doors. And with our Smart Pay programs, don't pay anything for a year. With Renewal by Andersen, get your windows for free if it snows on Christmas Eve. Make your appointment and purchase before December 16th. Call Renewal by Andersen. 885-3100. 885-3100. That's 885-3100. Visit snowywindows.com for terms and details.
Losing a loved one is challenging for any family. The emotional hardship that follows can make it difficult to focus on ensuring that your deceased loved one's affairs are put in order. Do not face the challenges of administering a family member's estate alone. The attorneys at Berglund and Doxy can help you navigate the complexities of Alaska's probate laws and represent you in court. Berglund and Doxy, over 45 years of combined legal experience. Contact them at 456-4020 or online at berglunddoxy.com. In-person and telephonic consultations are available.
And now, more Problem Corner on KFAR Radio, 97.5 FM, 660 AM, and streaming live at KFARradio.com.
Welcome back, Fairbanks. Going through a little bit of history here in Fairbanks and things like that. Now, if you've ever been through Pioneer Park, and you can see the Alaska, you can see the trading post there. Now, what did that start out as? That started out as the Palace Hotel. That was built in 1906. And it stood on 4th Avenue and Cushman Street. So, boy, that parking lot is there now. But that's where it was. And they moved it to Pioneer Park. There's a lot of, in the 1950s and 60s, the Interior Department, the federal government, we were still a territory. But they gave money to do, in you know, urban renewal. And what they did is they did things on Cushman Street to the west, to Barnett Street. And a lot of the old homes and buildings were bought acquired and then put up for the lots put up for sale. And so they took a lot of those buildings and they brought them out to A67, which later became Alaska Land. And the Palace Hotel was one of them. And you can still go out there and buy items. I was there this summer, operated by a nice couple out there. I enjoyed myself. The building was constructed of peeled logs and chinked with cement. They're joined at the corners with vertical corner posts covered with trim boards. The second floor joists are notched into the log walls, and their ends can be seen on the outside of the building. Oh, my goodness. The building has a low-pitched gable roof, which is covered by the customary corrugated tin. So that is all still there, and it is what it is. Then also out at Pioneer Park, and if I say Alaska Land or A67, hey, you know, it's they've changed the name enough now to where what will it be in 2035? But we'll see. The Kitty Hensley House is out there. It's known as Building Number 11 at Pioneer Park. And it's an extended log cabin. And since it was originally built, its corners were milled and nailed. It contained only two large rooms and a lean-to shed at first. But it had that distinctive gambrel roof, that barn-style roof. And it was added on remodeling in 1914, carried out by Kitty Hensley, by her friend Captain Smythe, who used lumber from his boat, the sternwheeler Florence S., which had been badly damaged by the ice and the spring breakup. So they didn't waste anything up here back then. You know, you lose a boat, it goes, you build a house. Simple as that. A fancifully conceived house, it had a stylish front porch and projecting bay window, sheltered by hip roof edge with bracketed eaves. The windows are unique paladin windows, high at the center, and the front facade uses many small panes of art glass to do the windows as a front bay. And again, when they were redoing the urbanization of Fairbanks in the 50s and 60s, this is what they did. This was available to be brought out, and they did it. The house is in good condition, so that's where they brought it from. It was moved in 1967 and was originally at 932 8th Avenue. So, yeah, you're on the west side of Cowell Street there. But a little bit of history, a little bit of how it was done and where it was at, that sort of thing. Interesting how those things happen. Now, the Wickersham House is also out at Pioneer Park. So we're hitting a few of the houses that were, the buildings that were brought from Fairbanks out to Pioneer Park. Now, that was at the corner of First and Wendell Street. And I don't know if that was the location of where the courthouse is, or was that where the location of the Chevron station. It's either, it's probably the courthouse, I think, but don't quote me on that. And that was built in 1904 for the home of Judge Wickersham. That's now at Pioneer Park. And anyway, still has the white picket fence at the corner of First Avenue Noble, where the filling station is. Okay, just found out. He purchased the lot in 1915 for $175. Wickersham built the home himself in the spring of 1904, carrying the lumber on his back from the sawmill a few blocks away. It was reportedly the first house in Fairbanks to be built of milled lumber. So when you're walking through Pioneer Park and you see that house, the first sawmill, the first milled lumber, built that house right there. And then they moved it to Pioneer Park. And anyway, now, the kitchen and woodshed wing was not moved to Alaska Land, so a lot of portions of the house were not moved there. Whenever you walk in there, you'll see the living room, dining area, bedrooms, but you're not going to see where the kitchen was. And it is reticent of what they did. they saved that house and they brought it out there. And it's a very, you know, when it's the first milled lumber house in Fairbanks, and they saved it. We're going to take a phone call. Good morning. You're on KFAR Radio, and your name is?
Hey, this is Rob.
Hello. Hello, Rob.
Hey, I have a quick, just kind of a quick question. I remember being 18 years old and at that time and able to drink beer at the pub there that was in Alaskaland at that time. Who owned that? And, you know, the Ferris wheel used to be set up there all summer, and there was a zoo. Whatever happened to all that, and when did that start? And thank you.
Well, that was part of the city of Fairbanks. That was operated by the city of Fairbanks, actually, up until about 1981, 82, and they turned over all the parks and recs to the borough. Now, drinking gauge back in the 70s was 19. I don't know what it was in the 60s. It was a little bit before my time. But who had that pub? Basically the Palace Saloon. And, you know, it was leased. That building was leased. And let me work on that. Let me work on that. See if I can find a few people who might know who had that original lease on that. My dad, he had the original lease on the train. He had it from 67 to 69, and he put in the Golden Spike there, and he built the little train station, the Whiskey Creek and, anyway, Cripple Creek and Whiskey Island train station. Whiskey Island is a great big island in the Tana River, south of town. And the false water container is still there, and it's still the test of time. That was, my goodness, 50 years ago, plus or minus a little bit, so 55 years ago. Still there? Dad, he did a good job constructing it, buddy. And during the flood, he took the train and he put it on the highest portion out there, which was on the bridge, the trestle bridge over the entrance. So that's where he put it. And if you go to the Fairbanks Museum on the top of the co-op building up there, you can see a large photo of A67 during the 67 flood. And you'll see the train at that location. And anyway, that was a heck of a time. The zoo was, you know, they had black bear there, they had moose, caribou. It was mainly Alaskan animals. You know, it was Alaska Land, Pioneer Park, A67. But those were mainly Alaskan animals. And they had this black bear there, Babe the black bear. And they had a double fence system. You know, the black bear was in one fence, and they'd go, and when they fed the bear, they'd open up one set of fence and go and shut that gate. And a gentleman would be sitting there with a 12-gauge shotgun, slug gun, in case Babe the bear caused any issues for the person who fed the bear. And that never happened. And I just always felt so sorry for that bear, being in about a 16 by 16 compound, and that was it. And anyway, but they had that there. They had tank there. They had the Chinook helicopter out there. That was fun. Would play on that. And the mining town was there. The native village was there. A whole different type of site. The riverboat Nenana was brought in, and that was brought in by the Wigger family, miners. Mr. Wigger, he developed the extension there of Riverview Drive, where Coppet Street is and everything like that. And what they did was they brought in dredges, and they dug a trench. They basically dug a slough, and they brought the riverboat Nenana downstream from up near where the Big Eye is, and they brought it down and they backed it in. They floated in. You know, EPA, everyone would go nuts if you did that today, but that's what Mr. Wigger and his late son Mike and Bart did, and that's how they did that. They floated it in. They dug a trench, dug a slough. It filled with water. They floated it in, then they capped it, and that's how they did it. Back when you could do things like that. Anyway, Fairbanks, we're going to take a commercial break. You're listening to KFAR Radio. We're at 458-TALK, 458-8255. If you have a thought or a story on something that happened out there, give us a call.
More Problem Corner is coming up on KFAR 97.5 FM, 660 AM, and streaming live at kfarradio.com.
When you call a contractor, you want a seamless project, smooth from start to finish. That's why you call ABC. Whether you're remodeling your entire home, kitchen, or bath, or doing a project like installing siding, gutters, or energy-efficient windows, ABC makes it seamless and easy. Call 457-ABC1. Serving Fairbanks in the interior for over 27 years. ABC Inc., your seamless remodeling contractor. That's 457-ABC1.
Hello, Fairbanks. This is David Pruse. In real estate, we set up our business in the winter to have a successful spring, summer, and fall. If you're thinking about a real estate license, this is when you do it. My next class is in January. It is designed to have you operating in real estate sales in the spring. Do you have 2 weekends you can commit to? If so, give me, David Pruse, a call at 479-7000. That's 479-7000 to start your real estate career.
Weather is being brought to you by Frontier Outfitters, your store for the outdoor. Your next outdoor adventure begins at Frontier Outfitters for your Alaskan lifestyle.
KFAR Weather.
A dense fog advisory continues until noon today. Highs around 25 below today under mainly clear skies. Winds out of the northeast, 5 to 10 miles per hour. 28 below tonight, overcast. Chance for snow tomorrow, 1 below. About an inch of snow tomorrow night through Friday. And that's your weather on KFAR 660 AM and 97.5 FM. I'm meteorologist Laura Lockwood. Currently, it's 40 degrees below zero.
And now, more Problem Corner on KFAR Radio, 97.5 FM, 660 AM, and streaming live at kfarradio.com.
Welcome back, Fairbanks. David Pruse in the studio here. We're at 458-TALK, 458-8255. And that was interesting hearing my real estate commercial right there. And I've had a lot of positive comments on that commercial. And it was Melissa, who does many things here. And that was her music that she put on there. You know, I write it. Perry records it. He has me do it right. He calls me One Take Dave because I come in and I knock it out. He gives it off to Melissa. She makes it sound good. She's the class act of that. And so I'm very fortunate. I work with some very, very exceptional people down here. I'm not full-time at all. I come in here a couple hours a week and do what I do. But they treat me so well. And it's a wonderful experience. It's a good break of my day to be able to come in here and do what I do. And the interface that I get with everyone here, it's very tight here, you might say. But anyway, the Chena River, a river runs through it. What happens on the Chena? What happens on the Chena now? Well, back in the early days, The oldest club in Fairbanks, and it was probably started in about 1904, was the Fairbanks Curling Club. And they would do it on the river. You know, it wasn't in a building. It was done on the river. Basically, your shuffleboard on ice with teams of four. And that started on the Chena River. Then you'd have your spring carnival. You'd have ice skating on the Chena River. They would get an ice skating rink out there. You'd get hockey teams right there where Cushman Street is, and just a little bit south of it in front of where the Elks is and where the Borough Building is, and along there. That's where they had their events, along the Chena River in the winter. Again, a river runs through it. Now, up until the mid-80s, they used to dredge the Noy Slough. You know, they'd clean it out about every 3 to 5 years. They'd go and get rid of all the different beaver dams and brush and everything like that. They don't get to do that anymore. You know, when I was a kid growing up, you know, that was a That was a racetrack for snow machines. But I never did that. Oh, no, not me. And that was a lot of fun. And anyway, and the China at that time, the steam was not put into the river. So the river was frozen. There was no item of like there as it is today. It was done a different way. The steam, excess steam, was not put in the river, so it was a frozen river. And I grew up in Westgate, and you know, you get on your snow machine and you get on the river there off of Riverview and Taku, and you'd come uptown and you'd go over and wherever you're going to go. But a river ran through it. It was a corridor of transportation. And now it's still a corridor of transportation. How often do you see a cross-country ski event starting out there at Grail Landing on the Chena River and going towards Fort Wainwright, Ladfield back then, you know, on a 3, 5, 10 mile run or kilometers. That's right. They do clicks in cross-country skiing for whatever reason. Anyway, but the river's still there. When they start and when they finish the Yukon Quest, it's there. You see all the teams loading up there and using the borough parking lot as a staging area. And then they come down onto the river and just on the east side of Cushman Street, that's the chute, and they're off and running, the Chena River. This town would not be here without that river. You know, it's a unique area. You know, if you're good at fishing, you can get burbot, salmon, grayling, pike. When I was a kid growing up, we would even get the tarpon of the north. I'm missing the name for it right now. And they still get some in there. But you could get all sorts of fish in there and enjoy it. I caught my first grayling on the Chena River. What the heck? There where Pioneer Park is, where the when the, putting in Pegger Road, that wasn't there yet. And we would, when I was a kid, you know, 5, 6, 7 years old, we'd hike over there and where the mining district is now. You have that pond there. That was the frog pond. We'd go there and catch frogs and bloodsuckers and come home head to toe covered with mud and grime and get our spanking and go get our bath and get cleaned up, and we'd do it all again the next day. But that's what we do. So just things like that Fairbanks has to offer, and I hope y'all appreciate it. And my good friend Doug, he sent me the word she-fish. That's right. You catch she-fish there, a migratory fish. So anyway, thank you, Doug, for picking me up on that. And I will see you this Sunday. So, then you look at Fairbanks going south on Cushman Street. Now, if you've ever been over Airport Road and Barnett Street there, when I was growing up, it was the roller rink. Then after that, it became the pizza pub. And now it's, you know, I don't know if it's still open, but it's a pawn shop. But that was the original Harold Gillum's hangar. That was Weeks Field. That was the beginning of the airport. And on the airport out there, they would also do races, you know, race cars. So it went all sorts of directions there. And that's where Ween started. Ben Eielson started. Harold Gillum started. That's where everyone started, and that went at an angle. It doesn't go like it does not follow the airport road that is there now, but it would go at an angle from there to basically the Carlson Center, Ground Park, and everything in between. And so once they started moving the airport out to the new location, that was all redeveloped, and you'll see it called Weeks Field. Groudon Park, literally. Those are the names of the subdivisions, Weeksfield, Groudon Park, things like that. They put Denali School in there in the 50s. And so anyway, I went there in the 60s and the 70s. So, but that's how that area was built up. And then just on the south side of Airport Road, it was, you know, that was Rickert. And then as you go down South Cushman Street, on the west side, you have Gateway, the Gateway area, and the Mitchell area. And Rickert was a homestead. And they logged it, and then they grew vegetables out there. And then south of Rickert was Biermark. And, boy, trying to spell that and pronounce that, Biermark. And that was another farm that was from a 160-acre tract that someone homesteaded. Now, you can homestead up here 160 acres. That's one quarter of one section of land. A section of land is 640 acres. And if you want to know where all legal descriptions start in Fairbanks, the location where north meets south, east meets west, that would be Section 1, Township 1 North, Range 1 West, or Section 1, Township 1 South, Range 1 West, or Section 1, Township 1 North, Range 1 East, or Township 1 and Range Township 1 South, Range 1 East. That is basically in Pioneer Park, and I always use it in my real estate classes, at Pegger and Airport Road. That's where all legal descriptions start. And so anyway, another little thought for you. But Pegger Road was developed, and it started out as a two-lane dirt road like everything else did. And I would say back when it was built, it was about 3 feet above everything, you know, about above the, all the buildings were, the road was 3 feet above the buildings, and now the buildings are 3 feet above the road, but that's just how they do it back then. Anyway, they put in the Pegger Road Bridge, what, about 1970, I think, and it was a, basically a very narrow bridge and wood. And, you know, if you had two big trucks, one had to wait for the other. And then if you were driving a 10 speed, you had to be careful because your front tire could get caught in between the slots of the wood that formed the bridge. So that was a harrowing event, as, you know, you're 12, 13 years old going across Pegger Road for the first time and trying not to get stuck with trucks going past you or by you. So, but I made it. I was able to do it. And anyway, well, I hope you enjoyed this whimsical day of a little bit of Fairbanks history. I enjoy putting it together. I don't have any too much written format, just a little bit of this, a little bit of that as I go along. And it's fun. But a river runs through it. You know, a lot of business call themselves River City because we are River City. We have Chena River, Tanana River, Noislew, Chattanooga River, all sorts of fun stuff. And again, great town, a little bit of history here. We have a rich and deep history for the short time we've been here, I must say. Fairbanks, it's supposed to start getting warmer the next few days. Let's hope so. You enjoy yourself, and I'll see you on Friday.